Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Tuesday, a joyful Tuesday in Los Angeles, live. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I have so much news, I can't even announce some of the good news today. Maybe later in the show. Joy Taylor's joining me. I have so many secrets that are about to be non-secrets. Maybe we'll announce them during the show today.
Like personal secrets?
Well,
like...
No. These are robust, dynamic industry secrets.
Sports secrets.
How's that for an open?
I mean,
you can't go anywhere.
Nope. It was unexpected. Can't wait.
So I have been a little obnoxious with the Clippers. A little. Now, I go to Utah a lot. I like Utah. It's a great organization. But I said when the Clippers were down 0-2, I said the Clippers are going to win this series, and I feel it's over now. Even though it's tied at 2-2. So I'm just going to keep up this obnoxiousness. ask yourself this. What's a friend? Define a true friend. I'm not talking about I love golfing with her. Or the boys go to Vegas, pate. No, a true friend is your kid gets in a car wreck. You need transportation. Take him to the hospital. You're sick. There's a crisis in your family. Who do you call? Who is the first person you think of? That's an ally. That's a friend. In professional sports, we have training staffs for emergencies like that. But when we rank great players, I always have a similar question. Game 7. NBA Finals, tie game, 7 left. Who's your guy? My guy, now that LeBron is out of his prime, is often Kawhi Leonard. The NBA media and fans, they love their Westbrooks, John Walls, Derrick Roses. Some of those guys I don't want in the arena. Game 7, 7 minutes left, tied. Kawhi Leonard or Giannis? You don't want Giannis. Can't hit a free throw. Embiid or KD or Kawhi. Those guys are rarely healthy, increasingly for an entire series. Kyrie or Harden, they play no defense. They'll score and give it up on the other end. LeBron in his prime and Kawhi, and I've said this before, I'm not sure there's a better choice. He can get you a stop. He's as good an on-ball defender as the league has. He's as good a get-a-bucket guy as the league has, except maybe KD. When the game starts, and don't get me wrong, he'll miss his 20 load management games a year, but when the game starts, Kawhi never seems to get hurt in-game. He finishes it. On-ball defender. He's unaffected. He's got a unique personality. I'm not sure he hears, reads any of the criticism. He's unaffected. He's been in multiple big games. Jokic hasn't. Even Chris Paul, who I admire and love, has some holes in his game. He's small. He's no longer an elite defender. And let's be honest, Chris Paul's greatest strength, and he's got a lot of them, is really getting somebody else a great shot. Kawhi Leonard can guard anybody. Remember that series, Toronto-Milwaukee, where he guarded Giannis and marginalized him, took him out of the series. He can guard a point guard, a 2, a 3, a 4. Only LeBron over the last 10 years, you could say that. LeBron could guard Derrick Rose in his prime, in his MVP year. LeBron could guard a 4. If you'd never seen Michael Jordan play, you'd never seen, YouTube didn't exist, Google didn't exist, no search engines, you'd never seen Michael play, and I had to describe Michael to you, I would say he had the athletic ability and the flair of Kobe and the efficiency of this guy named Kawhi Leonard. He had the Kobe personality and the Kobe flair, but the strength and efficiency of Kawhi Leonard. It's the age-old question. Who do you want in the foxhole? You ever see that movie, Platoon? Remember that movie Platoon? Charlie Sheen, Tom Berenger, I think. And you're watching that whole thing, and there's these deep discussions as you're sitting in the foxhole. And there's fear and there's anxiety. But there were two or three people in that movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. There were two or three guys. You're like, oh, that guy could get hit by a – I want that guy in the foxhole. That's the guy I want in the foxhole. And that's what the NBA playoffs are. Can make a stop. Can make a play. Unaffected. Finish games. Wobble around. Up against the ropes. Finish the fight and win it. I've seen Kawhi do it in San Antonio. I've seen him do it in Toronto. And I'm watching him do it in this series. Even among all-time greats. The tie game, 7 minute left question. Magic, Bird, and Barkley. Not great defenders. Could be a liability there. Duncan, Shaq, don't want him near the free throw line. You get in very rarefied air when you talk about 7 minutes left, game seven, who do you want both ends? It's like Michael, LeBron in his peak, Kawhi, and then you can throw some others in there. He's also got a very unique personality. I mean, one of the things about Michael was he appeared to be better in crisis. Despite what the critics have said, LeBron is generally, he really is, better in crisis. You can't say that for a lot of stars. A lot of guys melt. Kawhi's got a unique personality. I don't think he reads the criticism. I really don't. He doesn't even have an agent. He's not in that cycle of information and rumors and gossip. He's got Uncle Dennis. He's just a baller. But you start looking around in that age-old foxhole question, just not a lot of guys. He'll hit a free throw. He'll hit a jumper. He'll make a stop. He'll guard anybody. He's not affected by pressure. The game starts. He'll finish it. Kawhi Leonard. And that's why I think the series is over. Because if you have that kind of guy, they end up with a lot of trophies. Okay, a crazy series. It was really, at times, awful basketball. Philadelphia-Atlanta. We know Atlanta's not a great team. We know Atlanta has a fledgling star in Trae Young. We know that. But we know a lot about Philadelphia, too, because we've seen this over and over. At the end of the game last night for the Sixers, Shake Milton was bringing the ball up. Well, what about Ben Simmons? No, he was on the bench. What? Yeah, they would not play Ben Simmons in the last possession. We've all known for years Embiid Simmons. We're media people. We take sides. I was initially a Simmons guy because Embiid's always hurt. And when bigs get hurt early, they get hurt often. But it's beyond that. Last night, on the biggest stage, as big a game as the Sixers have had in years, and we've all talked about their issues, and Philadelphia keeps denying their issues, and now they got a new GM and a new coach, and Doc and Daryl Morey, and oh, it's all good, it's great. Yes, they have great moments. But on the biggest stage, Embiid was hurt, and Simmons did not take a shot in the fourth quarter because he would then be fouled and terrified to go to the free throw line. We have got to, you know what they always say, the first way to solve a problem is admit a problem. And the problem in the NBA is if you have an issue, the rule in the NBA is keep it really quiet and trade it away before anybody knows about it because you'll lose your leverage. But in Philadelphia's case, they've been denying it and denying it and denying it and denying it. And now Ben Simmons over the next 4 years is going to make, what, 32, 35, 38, and 40 million. Good luck getting rid of that contract and making a great deal because everybody is now watching him deteriorate. Like, this is something we have been on this show for 2 years. In the NBA, when you've got a problem, find it. Keep it quiet, and make a move. Because now it's on the biggest stage. Now GMs are watching Ben Simmons and like, $35 million a year? You can't have him on the floor? He won't take a shot? And then you look at Embiid, who's a marvelous player. He's hurt again. So, you know, the NBA has always been a great story league and a star league and a gossip league and a rumor league. What you want to do 3 years ago is when they were both at their height and there was speculation and people like me and talk show hosts and media going, I'm a Simmons guy and I'm an Embiid guy. What we were really saying is they both had value. We were all arguing over it. You were Embiid, I was Simmons, but they both had value. After last night, one guy can't jump, he's hurt. One guy can't be on the floor in the fourth. What's the value? And they're both mega expensive. I mean, Doc Rivers is over it officially. Here he was after the loss.
We stopped passing. I thought that we started the game off that way. Then we got back in the ball movement. Then we went back to hero basketball. You know, basically everybody wanted to be the hero instead of just trusting the team, trusting each other. So when you do that, you usually lose, especially when the other team outworks you the whole game. And that's what they did today.
Doc was like this marriage counselor. And after about 12 sessions, he's like, all right, I can't fix you guys. I'm done with it. Like, Doc's done with it. This should have been addressed years ago. It wasn't. And now, on the biggest stage, every GM, everybody can see it. Ben Simmons did not take a shot in the fourth quarter. $32 million a year? My point guard? Shake Milton's on the floor? Not great. All right. Udonis Haslam is on the show today. He has, boy, he's going to have quite a pension.
Miami legend.
A really, the ultimate guy, you know, we say this all the time. Chase Daniel, it's kind of a joke in the NFL, has made more money not playing football as a backup quarterback as anybody ever. There is value in maturity, being a great teammate, and having somebody in the room. So Chase Daniel's this quarterback. He's made more money as a backup, but he's a great guy in the room. He's a great guy. Everybody likes Chase. He's not a threat, but he's good enough. If he has to start a game, he can keep you in it. Udonis Haslam had his peak, and then he was past his peak, and you just keep him around. Like, certain people bring an intelligence. They understand.
Culture setter.
The culture setter. And these, I'm telling you, we don't talk about them a lot. All sports have them. And in a salary cap league, Udonis Haslam, you just keep him. You keep him until he can't lace his shoes. Just till the wheels fall off, you keep him. So he'll be on the show today, next hour. Remember the feeling you got as a kid when you were tucked into bed, or the feeling you get now in the arms of somebody you love? Safe and secure. It's a feeling of security that only comes through a human connection, and that's why the people at Simply Safe Home Security are so vital. Of course, they have an award-winning system, all the technology bells and whistles you'd expect these days. But the people at Simply Safe take it to the next level. They're there around the clock anytime you need them. They make it easy. It takes about 2 minutes to customize your system on their website, simplysafecolin.com. Fire, burglary, medical emergency, busted pipe, you know, even a problem setting up your system. Simply Safe has an expert there to help you 24/7. And when you know there's always somebody there to help you, that's a feeling you just don't get with any old security system. To learn more, go to simplysafecolin.com today. Customize your system, get a free security camera, and a 60-day risk-free trial. Nothing to lose. All starts here, simplysafecolin.com.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Navien tankless water heaters. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Save money, save the planet. They're efficient. Save on your water bill. Twitter is much like alcohol. It eventually unveils the truth. Jerks are bigger jerks when they're drunk. Sweet people are even sweeter when they've had one martini too many. Twitter's the same thing. Dumb people look really dumb on Twitter. Smart people, clever people, funny people are even better. Kevin Durant on Twitter is impulsive. Two or three times he's done something he had to apologize for, he's regretted. LeBron is very calculated. His critics will tell you it's always like he jumps right on the wave and rides it home and gets tweets. Twitter tells you a lot about LeBron and KD as people. One, KD is very impulsive, sometimes can't control it. LeBron is very measured and calculated. So I am not going to judge Kevin Durant on this series with Milwaukee. Kevin Durant's one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen. He's absolutely top five offensive player I've ever seen. He's all-time talent. It's ridiculous to dispute any of that. But he is impulsive, and his issues are self-inflicted. Let's not judge him on tonight. No single person can win. It's not fair. LeBron got to a finals once when the NBA wasn't nearly as good. It has more talent now than it's ever had, but he got swept by the Spurs, who had more good players. Let's not judge KD on this series. It's just unfair. Let's look at their mobility between the two. I am pro-mobility, so is Joy Taylor. But that doesn't mean all mobility is equal. Look at LeBron's moves and how calculated they've been. He's in Cleveland for years. He takes the second extension, makes his money. Then he goes to Miami. Great winning culture. Pat Riley. A place that attracts stars. Had titles. Very dependable anchor in D-Wade. Smart, dependable guy. It's a really smart move. And then they go get really smart Chris Bosh. I mean, literally, it was one of the smartest teams in league history. Then they surround it with, like, Shane Battier and Ray Allen. LeBron had this thing all measured out, all thought out. It was so smart, so calculated. The East was just waiting to be dominated as the good teams were getting old. He swoops in with D-Wade and Bosh, and for 4 years, I mean, it wasn't even competitive in the East, really. And then he goes to Cleveland. Well, that was also calculated and measured. They had Kyrie Irving, an emerging star, and the number one pick, and he wanted to go home and end this whole villain thing. And he goes to Cleveland, and he wins. But the whole time, LeBron knows, if I win, I'm not staying here. Then he goes to Los Angeles. Again, it's very smart. First of all, it's the mogul stage. Los Angeles, he had meetings with billionaires set up before he got off the plane. But they also had a roster full of young guys they could get rid of. Clutch Sports was representing Anthony Davis, and LeBron and Anthony had talked he was going to come here. And by the way, it's worked out well. From business to winning, LeBron is so calculated and so measured. Now let's go to KD. He's not happy in OKC. I got it. I thought the organization made a mistake. They embraced Westbrook, not KD. I got it. But he chooses Golden State, a team that didn't really need him. They just won before him. And it was a team that just beat you in the playoffs. So it looked like you were dumping your girlfriend for the prettier girlfriend. It was like, it didn't really play optically very well. And it was Steph's team. It's Steph's city. I mean, Steph Curry is the biggest star in the city. And I mean the city. Politicians, NFL, it's Steph's town. It's always going to be Steph's town. And then eventually he doesn't like that. He doesn't feel like he's the man, and he wins. And he goes to Brooklyn with no history. Nobody cares about him. There were other places to go, and he goes with Kyrie Irving, who has shown in multiple instances, physically he's a little brittle, and he can be a little bit of an erratic guy. And so this morning, as I get ready to watch the Nets and the Bucks, LeBron James has a title. Business is on fire in Los Angeles. Anthony Davis and LeBron will get their longest offseason. And the West next year will be here for the taking. It will be. The Warriors are not as good. Dallas doesn't have a number two. Either does Dame. And the Nets. And KD is kind of a little drowning here. It's Harden's hurt. A story today, they'll test his hammy. Kyrie's out probably for the series. One is measured and calculated, LeBron. One is impulsive. And this is what happens when you're impulsive. You end up in Brooklyn with teammates that are physically and emotionally not always there for you. But it doesn't make me think less of Kevin Durant as a person. Not everybody's the same. But years and years ago, people started saying KD better than LeBron. And I was like, first of all, LeBron is the physical and emotional rock of this league for 15 years. The rock. Never hurt for 15 years. Very smart and calculated. KD is just otherworldly gifted. But when I look at the situation he's in, it's a situation he's been in two or three times, kind of scrambling now. Can't depend on this, can't depend on that. So whenever you talk about KD and LeBron, just remember, Twitter like alcohol unveils the truth. One is measured, one is impulsive, and once again in their career, they have earned their spot. They're in either a great spot or a dilemma created by them. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. A report came out during the show from The Athletic detailing some tension brewing between Luka Doncic and the Mavericks front office. And the biggest rift is allegedly with gambler turned executive Bob Valgaris. The two have reportedly had dust-ups since Valgaris started working with the team in 2018. The Athletic also reported that Valgaris has been one of the most influential voices in the organization and has the full support of team owner Mark Cuban. When this came out, Mark Cuban called the report BS.
Well, anytime you have a story with multiple sources leaking stuff in an organization, there's probably envy in the organization. The article also said, Joy, and this is not a small deal, that Luka is going to sign an extension with the Mavericks.
Yes. I mean, Luka's not leaving. Like, it's very difficult to leave $200 million on the table. Like, there's a way the salary cap is set up, and the team that has you can offer you the most money. That's why most guys stay through their rookie contract the length that they do, because it's really hard to walk away from that amount of money. Like, we talk about Zion possibly doing it. It's like, he might. But it's easy for us to say that when we don't have someone handing a $200 million check to us. So just to go somewhere else, especially at that point in your career. So I think he will sign there. But we know that long term, when stars are unhappy, it's just ticks and ticks and ticks.
It does.
And if you don't address things early on, eventually that contract will no longer be in place and he will be a free agent and he will still be in his prime because he's 22 right now. And the little stuff mounts up to big stuff.
I mean, the franchise, regardless of what's in that article, they have a 2-year window here in Dallas to get Luka a two. If they do, this will have a very happy ending.
Right.
Even if you don't win titles, it's going to be a very happy ending. The issue is, and Portland knows this with Dame, and Mark knew this with Dirk, getting a two, we always think getting a star is hard. Getting a two is not as hard, but it's close. You now get 1 year of college tape. You get G League, international. I mean, LaMelo's way better than we thought. And then there's other players aren't nearly as good as we thought. So the race for Mark Cuban is he's got to, in the next 2 years, really find a two. You got 2 years, two drafts, two free agency periods. If you get to a third year where Luka's getting knocked out in the first round, then you get to a point where even if he had signed an extension, you've got a bitter star, because this kid, by the way, is global. He's willing to go. He's gone from one country to another. He's willing to move.
And his star is only rising.
Oh, like for the next 7 years.
He's only growing in popularity. He's only growing in skill. And he is very, very young. So, yes, it's very possible that he could end up leaving if they don't find a two or put things together. And I would argue it's just as hard to find a two as it is to hard find a one, because it is a two-star league.
Oh, and also, what you have to find, Joy, is somebody that's not quite as good as the one.
Right.
Scottie Pippen always knew. Michael gets the last shot. Mikhail knew. Bird gets the last shot. Kobe and Shaq both thought they should get the last shot. So you want Luka to take the last shot. Can you get a guy who is really great but has the right temperament for it? He's not going to get the cover of the magazine in the big interview. He may not be as talented, but you need a certain personality to be a two. So this article, we can yell and scream it's BS or not. There's a two and a half year window here to find Luka a two, and it's not easy.
Right, and aside from the part of the article where they talk about Luka's interactions with Valgaris, the bigger issue to me with it, and I know Mark Cuban said it's BS, but to your point, there's enough sources in here. There are some people that are unhappy with the situation, even if they're exaggerating Luka's unhappiness with it. Every part of that dysfunction adds up. So Luka's frustration may add up, people within the organization not working together because maybe it's jealousy, to your point, or maybe it is that he's not making the right decisions and not cooperating with the rest of the organization and making decisions on draft picks and free agency picks. It all adds up. So having a functional culture is very important when you're working on these things, because free agents pay attention to this. Like, people don't want to go to a situation. It's like, well, what's going on with this guy? What's the deal with this? Like, anything, and everything matters.
By the way, a prime example of that is you would think stars would want to play in New York. For years, they didn't want to play in New York because of the owners. So it's not, we make too much of the big market, small market. Philadelphia is a great NBA city, great market. For years, the process, tanking, it became, stars didn't want to be any part of that losing culture. So it's not market size. You got to get stuff buttoned up inside.
Because everyone talks.
Everybody.
It's a very small business with the NBA. So the 49ers went all in this year in drafting Trey Lance as their quarterback for the future. And Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the team. So if he's healthy, Lance won't need to start week one. But Kyle Shanahan said he is not ruling that out as a possibility.
I definitely see it as Jimmy's the starter, but if Trey's ready to compete, I have no problem with it. I don't sit there and say, hey, no, we're not playing a rookie quarterback. We have to rest him the first year. And I don't really make any decisions like that until I actually have an opinion on it. And that'll take to how I see him in camp. And if he comes in and he's playing at a high level and we think he gives us the best chance to win, we wouldn't hesitate to do that.
Well, according to Fox Bet, 49ers week one starter, Jimmy G is favored at minus 250.
Yeah.
Trey Lance plus 187. Their first six games at the Lions, at the Eagles.
2-0, then it gets tough.
Then they have the Packers, Seahawks, and at the Cardinals. And then they have their bye, and they come back at home against the Colts.
Yes. What's interesting here, of all the rookie quarterbacks that came into the league, there's only one team that's a Super Bowl contender, and that's San Francisco.
Right.
So it's interesting. Like, you can't put Trey in if he's not ready, because this division, you'll fall three games back in the division by October 15th if you mess around.
Yeah.
So this is a really, in a weird way, it's the greatest place to go for Trey Lance, but it's also the toughest because this is Super Bowl roster. This is the toughest division. So you really got to be ready to play. This is
there's no expectations of the other rookie quarterback.
This is not Jordan Love gets the Lions twice. You're not getting this thing. You're getting the worst team in this division. Arizona was 500 and has made serious free agent moves. So this is like one of those things where it's a tough decision for San Francisco.
Well, because to your point with that, how good would he have to look to win the starting job from Jimmy Garoppolo, knowing what Jimmy Garoppolo is capable of if he's healthy?
You know what I think, Joy? That's a great question. The preseason, we think of it as useless. It is for a lot of teams. The preseason for San Francisco is not useless. Like, they need to see him in games and how he can play, because when the bullets are flying and it's real I mean, I know we all say about the preseason, but
no, it matters for young players and rookies, and it matters for evaluators.
Yep.
Preseason's going to matter a lot for the Green Bay Packers this year.
Yeah.
So the Jaguars are being extra careful when it comes to their rookie quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. He's been dealing with some hamstring tightness since OTAs last week, which forced him to stay out of 11-on-11 team drills during minicamp. He did some work on the side, and the rest of the team warmed up and participated in individual drills. He said it feels good, but it's frustrating not being able to go full speed. Another update out of Jags minicamp. Tim Tebow reportedly looked like he belonged.
To what?
To what? The team, I guess.
Okay.
To the team.
All right.
The NFL. He belongs there.
I don't want to be negative guy.
I don't think I am skeptical, and I deserve to be skeptical of the situation.
Well, we've earned some skepticism, but listen, it's we're not gonna, you and I aren't going to lose any sleep if Tebow makes the team. It's not going to lose.
I'm
care.
I'm not rooting against it.
That's right.
I think it's amazing content. I can't wait to watch it, but I remain skeptical.
But he belonged, according
to
reports.
Looks like he belonged.
All right, that's fantastic. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Rick Bucher's around the corner. We're going to ask him things. It's interesting with KD. Like, I'm not. I think KD's all-time great. But if you really are brutally honest with yourself, I try to be as honest with myself as I can. Generally, if you're in a dilemma in life, it's probably self-inflicted. It's not your mom's fault. It's not your dad's fault. It's not your wife's fault. You probably put yourself in a bad spot. KD is impulsive. And that's his personality. We've seen it on Twitter. Where he's doing stuff and you're like, dude, what are you doing? You have to apologize for stuff. LeBron's never apologizing for Twitter. So KD's personality is an impulsive personality. That's why you have agents. That's why you have representatives. So you're not in these rooms yelling, getting all emotional. But when I look at KD's situation in Brooklyn, it's kind of predictable that Kyrie would be hurt or erratic. And then you bring in Harden, who is this is kind of what we, you know, the fact that he's now has to be the life preserver for Brooklyn. You know, this was a franchise a couple years ago that made the playoffs. They had a coach. The chemistry was great. And they said, hey, we're not good enough to win a title. So, I commend Brooklyn for going all in. But these people, Harden, Kyrie, KD, they've all been in this league long enough. They have reputations and they have histories, emotional, physical. And so they're kind of scrambling. That's what it feels like with Kyrie and Harden and KD a lot of the time in the playoffs at the end of seasons. Rick Bucher around the corner. The White House has issued alerts against increased ransomware attacks. Is urging all organizations to take critical steps to protect their businesses and individuals. Ransomware attacks use software to encrypt files, lock up a victim's computer, device. Then a ransom is demanded in exchange for the release of data and restored operations. Scary, right? Every day, hey, you, me, everybody, we put our info on the internet. And in an instant, a cyber criminal could steal what's yours. That's where LifeLock steps in. They detect a wide range of threats, like your social security number on the dark web. If they detect your info, it's been compromised, they'll send you an alert. Nobody prevents all of it. Nobody can monitor all transactions at all businesses. We know that. But keep what's yours, yours. Right now, save up to 25% in the first year by going to LifeLock.com, put in the code HERD. Or call 1-800-LIFELOCK, same code, H-E-R-D.
Want more HERD? The HERD streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search HERD to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tune in and watch lightweight champ Teofimo Lopez against the undefeated George Kambosos Jr. June 19th, live on pay-per-view. Performances by Meek Mill, Lunai, and Mike Towers. Must see by the pay-per-view event at TrillerFightClub.com. There's a lot of people in the fight game now. There's a lot of Fox is in the fight game. Triller's in the fight game. My former employer's in the fight game. UFC's obviously in the fight. It's a lot. And now UFC guys are fighting in boxing. There's a lot of people in the fight game now.
That Mayweather-McGregor thing changed a lot for a lot of people.
We thought it was a joke. You know, a lot of people roll their eyes at it, and then it was unbelievably watchable.
They were like, wait a minute.
This
we
is really fun.
Charge people that much money to
By the way,
this.
Joy and I had tremendous seats for that. Anywho, Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst, is joining us live. You know, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, Best or Nothing. You know, it's so funny. Usually great teams, you know, the New England Patriots looked smart and efficient for 20 years because they were. Alabama football looks strong and physical and well-coached because they are. Usually you watch a championship team, Rick, and you're like, yeah, they look like a championship team. They're smooth offensively. The Clippers were up by 24 at one point last night, and it's so ugly. They have no point guard. They're making it up. I know they're really good, but it is so painful, an offense with no point guard. Like, is there a ceiling on what this Clipper team can do eventually?
No, I don't believe so. And I look across the board, though, Colin. Is there a single team out there that you would say is a well-oiled machine right now in the NBA? I'm not even sure the Phoenix Suns fit in that category. They're probably as close as any because of Chris Paul. And as we've talked about before, his stellar assist to turnover ratio and just his general floor leadership. But that said, look, Ty Lue has the deepest deck of any coach in these playoffs. And he is utilizing every single card. And I believe some of that is because, look, I can play a variety of ways. So I'm going to see which way works the best for me. And as I do that, I'm not putting too much stress on any one piece. So this is not really about finding that groove and being well-oiled. You want to find that in spots. But it's really getting to the finish line with your best pieces available. And I feel as if Ty Lue has an eye toward that in how he's handling this team. I would have gone small right from the start against Utah because I saw the Clippers play small against the Jazz in the regular season. And I thought, oh, the Jazz don't have an answer for that. He started big in the series, but what it allowed him to do is not put all that weight on Nicholas Batum and Paul George in particular to guard Rudy Gobert the entire series. So now he gets halfway through and he can lean on them a little bit more and not worry that what's happened to Philadelphia or Brooklyn is going to happen to the Clippers.
So you listen, Embiid Simmons has always been kind of an odd fit. We know they don't get along. It's been denied. It'll work. It's fine. And then last night in their biggest game, you got exactly what we've known for years. Embiid is hurt, can't jump, and Simmons doesn't take a shot in the fourth. And now the world can see it. And now you've got two big max contracts. And I look at Philadelphia, and Doc Rivers snapped after the game. Listen, it is – I'm sorry, but, Rick, it's not solvable, right? Philadelphia, right. This is not a championship. It's not solvable.
No, it never has been. Not as a core to have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. We've known that from the very beginning. And it's a little bit like, I don't know, take a pair of shoes, a pants, a shirt – your favorite shirt and your favorite pair of shoes. And you go, God, I wish I could wear these together. I'd be styling. But you can't. You just can't. They don't fit. No matter how good individually they might be, no matter how expensive individually they might be, they just don't fit. And watching particularly last night's game, Ben Simmons, your point guard, your max salary point guard, sitting in the dunk position anytime you got into a half-court set, I felt like watching a polar bear on one of those ice floes. You know, he's just out there. It looks completely out. What is it doing there? It looks impressive, but looks like it can't do anything. That was Ben Simmons. Bring the ball up, hand it off to somebody else. And this is where the 76ers, like the Clippers, look a little clunky at times because you need that floor leader that is going to control the tempo. When you're up, you want to be able to slow things down and milk what you can get. If you're behind, let's pick it up and go. Ben Simmons is great in the open court, but to pay a max salary to a guy who's essentially a defensive stopper right now,
yeah,
and was an absolute non-factor, non-existent in the final 7 minutes of this game, in a possession-by-possession game, it doesn't work. So now the question is going to be, at some point, when do you pull the trigger and try to get something for him?
I was saying is, I think it's unfair to judge KD now in this series. I mean, nobody does it alone. Michael couldn't, so I think it's totally unfair. But I think this is fair. LeBron's moves have always been measured and calculated. KD, as a person, I can tell from his Twitter account, is more impulsive. He picked a team in Golden State that won without him. And then he went to Brooklyn, where there's no history of winning, and they have this chemistry and this dice coach. And he picks Kyrie Irving over Steph, who's much more emotionally erratic. And I'm not putting any pressure on KD tonight, but he doesn't get off the hook. LeBron is always a measured, calculated guy, from his social media to his decisions. KD's a little impulsive, and tonight, this is what you get when you're impulsive. Kyrie's not healthy. Yeah. Kyrie took sabbaticals. James Harden is hurt. So I'm not going to judge him, but some of Kyrie's career is a little self-inflicted. Is that fair?
Oh, you mean KD's career?
Yes, yeah, KD's career. Yeah, yeah.
No question. I look, LeBron is a better GM than KD is. Yeah. It can't be a referendum on who they are as players, because if you look at what KD gives you in the postseason, he's like a freaking metronome. 5 out of 9 years, he's led all scorers in the postseason. And if you look at his numbers, he averages between 28.5 and 32 points every single postseason. Even right now, I believe he's averaging 31, shooting 50% from the field, 40% plus from three-point range. He's going to give you 7-8 rebounds a game. He's going to give you at least a block shot, 4 or 5 assists. So it's not that. I believe that part of what is driving KD is that he is in competition with LeBron on and off the court, but he doesn't want to do it exactly like LeBron.
Yeah.
So how can I do it? How can I show that I'm the businessman he is, the team leader that he is? Like, how can I show? Because I'm not getting quite the love or respect that I deserve for what I've done to this point. And I understand why he would feel like he's not getting his just due, because, as I said, remarkably consistent. He was the reason that Golden State continued their dynasty run. You can tell me all you want about, you know, that they were a champion before he got there. That team changed dramatically as a result of age and infirmity. And KD was the Band-Aid that allowed that thing to go from we won one championship to we won three. But as you noted, it was Steph's town. So that was never going to change. I don't know that KD was aware of that or thought about that previously.
Yeah.
So now he hooks up with Kyrie in Brooklyn. Brooklyn's not the Knicks. I don't know whether he thought he could change that. Kyrie, as you said, is erratic. So I get the sense that KD's trying to do it his own way, but beat LeBron at his game doing it. And so far, I mean, that's just, that's tough. And
right.
So far, he hasn't been able to do it.
Rick Bucher, Fox Sports, NBA analyst. Good stuff tonight. We have the Nets, Milwaukee. That's our solo game. Rick, great seeing you again on a Tuesday. Appreciate it, bud.
You got it, Colin.
Yeah. That's an interesting way to put it. KD wants to be a little bit LeBron, but he doesn't want to copy him. He wants to do the LeBron mobility thing, but he wants to do it his own way, and his own way tends to be more impulsive. And so, yeah, as I've said before, I'm not doing this after the fact. I did not like him leaving Golden State. I just thought that city, it's tolerant, it's smart, it's thoughtful. The GM, the coach, Steph, Clay is like low profile. Steph is like selfless. Man, if you're a star player, it is hard to beat that. That's about as good a spot for KD in his life, Warriors. Now, I'm not, he's going to do what he wants to do, but I don't know. The opportunity to play with Steph Curry. By the way, who is LeBron now sucking up to the last 6 months? Steph Curry. Steph's like the guy. He's the guy you want to play with. Because he doesn't care about points. He just wants to win games. And that's something. Udonis Haslam, Hour 2, live in LA next.